5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program. Hey!
Hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain, welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. Common sense, conservative values delivered by a mom who loves this country. It is never complicated. It just makes sense. It feels comfortable. You know when you're out and about and you feel like a fish out of water? This is your sea. Come and swim with us. We got lots to talk about today. We're going to break down some Elon Musk, some Don Lemon. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about guns for illegals, because, you know, what could go wrong with that? We're going to talk about a little bit of everything. And if you get news from no other source, you are going to be locked, loaded, and ready to go in just a matter of 3 hours. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You know, censorship is on the docket, I think. It's on your headlines. It's going to be in your news feeds. It's in the Supreme Court right now. This is what they're looking at. And it's important, okay? Because we have people in this country who realize that in the world of ideas, theirs are poor, theirs are destructive, and America realizes that. And so when they can't win in the marketplace of those ideas, they have to be able to control the messaging. They have to be able to control what you are allowed to say, what you are allowed to see and to hear, to ostensibly control how you think and how you vote. Now, we all know this. I come at this at a different angle. And I'm going to explain why to you. I have been censored, canceled, fired, eliminated now 3 times in 8 years. In fact, I like to consider myself a little bit of the cutting edge of what started at the end of, well, I'd say in the middle of Donald Trump's presidency, beginning to the middle of his presidency, this whole idea of canceling, right? So I was a news anchor for many, many years, 18 years here in the city of Pittsburgh. And I went from the bottom of the ladder all the way to the top and was wildly successful and enjoyed it to a degree until one day. And then my awakening began. And I started to see things that I guess I was too busy raising my sons to see and to perceive and understand, that so much of what we were covering or not covering was determined at a pay scale much higher than mine. And it was only when I started butting heads with that philosophy that things started to go sideways for me. The station had pushed out to everybody, all of the on-air talent, that they really wanted us to get involved in social media. And I really dragged my feet. I was the final holdout to get a Facebook page. My colleagues, very talented people, had Facebook pages, were very popular on their Facebook pages. And the people came to me from the station and they said, it's time, you really need to do this. I literally got called into the news director's office in almost a disciplinary way. And I said, I'm gonna tell you, you don't want me to do this. Why not? I said, it's going to be very popular Why do you think so? I'm like, because I'm a mom with five kids. I talk about mom stuff. Every other mom out there is going to be completely on track with me. And they're going to be like, yes, me too. And in 1 year, I had 50,000 people on this Facebook page. And it grew and grew and grew. And then one day, one night, there was a terrible murder not far from the station. And I was going on the 11 o'clock news. And I had to report that six of my neighbors had been gunned down during a backyard barbecue. And something about that, you can imagine all of it, stayed with me long after the lights went out that night in the studio. The people who are outside at this barbecue had their children inside the house. And the children not only heard the gunfire, they watched the adults they love die. And after 18 years of that, I think I had enough. And so I paced the halls in our house for a few days until my husband said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Joe, I can't get this off my mind. People are killing people that look just like them for no good reason. And yet the people who run for office in this city, who promise to see what's going on, who promise to bring solutions to the problems of our urban community, fail. They fail every 4 years. And nobody ever makes a change. And I'm done." And he said, "Well, maybe you should post about it. Share something." So I did. And it went viral. Not for the right reasons. Some people in my community read what I had written and interpreted it as being racist because I was tired of what was clearly black on black crime. Anybody who's paid attention to news, who lives near a community where there are struggles, knows it's not, you know, white Irish people from Chicago coming in to kill people. It's people within the community killing one another. And it is a bloodbath. Brandon Johnson's Chicago, 18 people shot over the weekend, 4 killed. Bloodbath. That is a bloodbath. So I posted about it. And there was public outcry. I wasn't allowed to say what ended up being the truth. It was people in the community killing each other, retribution style, grisly, gang style. And I merely pleaded for the violence to stop. That cost me my job. I could not be more grateful that that detour happened in my life. One could argue the public outcry became too dangerous for the station to keep me. That could be. One could claim that I was signing a very fat contract and it was a cost-cutting maneuver. That could be. Whatever the purpose, whatever the reason, I lost my job, was called a racist, and was demonized for sharing my views. That was the beginning of my awakening to the world of censorship, where you are responsible for how other people interpret what you say, what you write, and what you do. It's patently idiotic. And everybody knows so. You don't have to go through public firing and finger pointing and name calling of the most disgusting variety to realize what is going on in this country. There are people who are desperate to control us, who want us in a very homogenized world where we do not deviate, we stay between the lines. We acquiesce to their requests, and we are governed that way. That is not the spirit of these United States. We didn't get to this place after such a short amount of time together without people doing extraordinary things and coloring outside of the lines and creating better mousetraps and envisioning what's coming next. But what we have is a decided push that has wound its way all the way up to the highest echelons of justice, to the Supreme Court, to determine who can decide what is right, what is wrong, what is allowed, what is offensive. And all of it is dirty as nuts. And we need to be alert. Now, I am alert because of my own life experiences. And had those not happened, I would never have found my way in front of a microphone where I can share with you what I believe is going on. And you have the right to agree or disagree. You have the right to find a different station. You can turn this off. You can move along. But I do not lie to you. I do not deceive, nor do I manipulate. I share with you what I see at 30,000 feet through the eyes of a mom. What you're going to hear today are various voices demanding emotionally that we control angry hate speech. But what I'm going to do today instead is defend the right of those who offend us the most to have that ability to do so. That is true freedom. Quick time out when we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Interesting snippet. A network news reporter sits down with a black couple, married couple, and asks them about their voting preferences in 2008 versus what they're planning on doing in November. And I'm pretty sure she wasn't expecting this. We got all the details coming up for you on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So there's something that is going on in this country, and it is an awakening, I feel, the left in particular, and that's all-encompassing. That's the Uniparty, that's the RINOs, this group of progressive Marxist communist groupthink control freaks who's desperate. They're desperate to be in charge of the narrative of everything so that you are subservient, right? They are losing on the left. They're losing the people who they've counted on and yet have not delivered for in generations. And of course, I'm speaking mainly of black voters. What's interesting in the audio soundbite you're about to hear, and this is something we heard last week when we had Rich Barris on, talking about his polling of trends in the minority communities, Hispanics and black voters as well, is that they're not going to be kept down anymore. They see what's going on. When it comes down to dollars and cents in particular, there's a quick awakening, and it's happened, particularly among men. Not so much around women, among women. And Rich was telling us, no, women, they're beginning to see it. It's catching on. More and more people are ditching the Democrats that they voted for ad nauseum, out of habit, and going over to the right instead, to Donald Trump. I want you to hear this sit down. Reporter asking a married couple, black couple, who did you vote for in 08? What are you planning on doing in 2024? Listen to this.
In 2008 and 2012, you voted for?
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. 2016?
I voted for Donald Trump.
Hillary Clinton. 2020?
Donald Trump.
Biden. And who will you vote for in 2024?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. You may vote for the former president.
I may.
Why do you say that?
My views on certain things have changed. I am very much so riding the fence.
What are you struggling with?
Being in a pattern of doing the same thing that I've been doing, because it's kind of like second nature. Like when you go in a poll, you hit Democrat. Something has to happen. I mean, it's just so expensive to survive. And we're planning on having kids. I don't want to live in a stressful environment trying to rub two pennies together to try to make it either.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, it's not amazing that it's going on. It's being said. It's being covered. It's coming out. The obvious. I think that's very intriguing to pay attention to. People don't want to be treated and taken for granted. Because you can only tell me so many times you're going to do this or that and then don't, when my loyalty disappears. This is also a very interesting headline I want to drop on you before this first or second commercial break. This is a headline from Breitbart. And we all know, if you're conservative, you all know that the left is trying to use abortion as some idea that is going to help them win in November. It is a loser topic for the GOP if they don't get the right messaging. And the messaging has been terrible. This is the headline. Trump: GOP must endorse three exceptions for abortion to get elected. Now, this is part of the allure, I think, with Donald Trump. I think he's reasonable. I don't believe he is extreme. I think he has expectations. He conveys those expectations, whether it's to the American people or it's to foreign governments with whom we trade and exchange things. And it's reasonable and it's understandable. There are consequences. This is what I expect. And if this isn't what happens, this will be the consequence. It's like good parenting. Former President Donald Trump said Sunday that Republicans had to include the three exceptions to their abortion position if they want to get elected. This is very common sense. When asked about the rape, incest, and life of mother exceptions, Trump said, "If you look at France, if you look at different places in Europe, if you look at a lot of the civilized world, they have a period of time. But you can't go out 7 months, 8 months, 9 months. If the Republicans spoke about it correctly, it never hurt me from the standpoint of elections. It hurt a lot of Republicans. I think you have to have the three exceptions." I agree. I agree with what he's saying. Now, you can fall on some extreme end or another. And there are some things, excuse me, that I believe we have to dig into and we have to hold the line on. This is not one of them. These are reasonable exceptions in the case of rape, incest, or where the mother's life is at risk. Okay? Now, this is the idea, I believe, of conservative values winning and succeeding, not just in 2024, but for elections to come. We are not a party of extremes. We are not crazy. We are kind. We are loving. We are just. But we believe in rules. And we believe that there are certain rules that are unencroachable, if you will. If we can espouse those values, and if we can chip away at the damage that has been caused in just 3 years, I believe that we will have the tools to build the foundation of generational victory, where we bring people in from all walks of life and say, we fight not just for our freedoms, for our values, for our rights, but yours. And if you like what we're doing and you like the economy under us and you believe you are safer and your kids are better off, come in. Come in. Because we have a lot of room for your ideas. Because we all want the same thing. Truly. When we come back, I want to go to this election interference Google style story. Threat to democracy. Safest, most secure election ever. We got to talk about this Media Research Center study. How many times Google interfered in elections dating back to 2008? Oh my goodness. Buckle up. It's next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Anytime anybody is super effusive, trying to convince you of this or that, that little voice in your head starts to get suspicious. You wouldn't try so hard if it was obvious to me that what you're telling me is true. But the harder you try, the more suspicious I become. That was how I felt with the whole, this is the safest, most secure election ever. It's a huge tip-off. It's a huge flag. Some crap is about to go down, yo. But get ready. And we talked about that in the days leading up to 2020. All of these voices on the left coming out to tell us how safe and secure everything was going to be, which means we're about to screw you over. And I think you have to be living in an alternate universe to not believe that that's what went on. So I found this article on Breitbart, but it's out there everywhere, and it's important because we're having this conversation in our country today more and more about censorship. Who's allowed to determine who can say what, when, and where, and how? Who's the arbiter of that? Who gets the keys to the castle? Who gets to wave the magic wand? Well, it's a race to the top of the pile. And the people who are desperate to control what we do show their cards every single day. How about this headline? Media Research Center. Google interfered in 41 U.S. elections over 16 years. Now, is anybody like, what? Of course not. This is what we talk about, maybe in quieter tones, almost every single day. Not allowed to do that. This person said something. They got canceled. This person checks a box. They got elevated. Right? Hunter Biden's laptop. We sat on it. And then we created an ancillary narrative. 51 law enforcement officials say, no. That's Russian disinformation. If you're even remotely paying attention, you can see how obnoxious this is. But to interfere in 41 U.S. elections over 16 years, listen to this. A new study by the Media Research Center alleges that Google has repeatedly interfered in U.S. elections, favoring leftist candidates and suppressing conservative voices. Do you guys ever just stop for a minute and think about what we've gone through? Think about how they've thrown every single thing at us. They created a riot situation to ensnare conservative patriotic Americans, to beat a dead horse smokescreen to cover the 2020 election. And here we are, thriving and succeeding, and Donald Trump is ahead in the polls. It's truly remarkable. If these Googles and Yahoos and YouTubes and all these other, you know, Facebooks and all of them would get out of the way, can you imagine in the real marketplace of ideas without suppression what we'd be able to accomplish? Google, the ultra-woke tech giant that dominates online search and advertising, has been accused of a staggering pattern of election interference spanning over 16 years. And 41 separate instances, according to a bombshell report from the Media Research Center. The study, conducted by their Free Speech America division, levels severe allegations against the Silicon Valley giant, claiming it has systematically utilized its immense technological prowess to sway electoral outcomes in favor of left-leaning candidates. Quote, MRC researchers have found 41 times where Google interfered in elections over the last 16 years. Its impact has surged dramatically, making it ever more harmful to democracy. You want to talk about a threat to democracy? How about that? How about one-way thinking, one-sided presentation, one avenue of thought to get when you put something in to the computer? You're not getting actual results. You're getting preferred narratives. That's gross. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of this. And I'm just going to read you the first three pages, this MRC special report, Media Research Center special report. I've included a link to it on our Locals page. Go to locals.com and put in Wendy Bell Radio, and you will be able to see what we're doing here, okay? Here's the headline of this 19-page basic report on their research. MRC researchers, as we said, have found 41 different interference instances over the last 16 years. Google has utilized its power to help push to electoral victory the most liberal candidates, regardless of party, while targeting their opponents for censorship. Utilizing the many tools in its arsenal, Google aided those who most closely aligned with its leftist values from election cycle to election cycle, since as far back as the 2008 presidential election. Meanwhile, it targeted for censorship those candidates who posed the most serious threat. Here's some examples. 2008, Google appeared to select the radical young Barack Obama to help spur to victory over John McCain. Meantime, it targeted support for Hillary Clinton for censorship, suspending the accounts of writers who wrote blogs critical of Obama during his primary race against Clinton. In 2012, Google once again favored Obama over Mitt Romney. And inconsistent with its stated policy, the tech giant refused to correct a Google bomb that smeared leading GOP primary candidate for president Rick Santorum. Remember how he got destroyed? Thanks, Google. 2016, Google pushed Clinton, using its algorithm to exclude potentially damaging autofill results, while not doing the same for then-candidate Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders. Google also worked with partners, quote-unquote, partners, to help likely pro-Clinton Latino voters go to the polls. 2018, researchers accurately predicted that Google's significant pro-liberal bias would be enough quite easily to have flipped all three congressional districts in Orange County from Republican to Democrat. In 2020, Google targeted Tulsi Gabbard for censorship, disabling Gabbard's ads account, just as she became the most searched candidate following the first Democratic Party primary debate. The tech giant also suppressed news sources critical of Biden and reportedly blocked GOP fundraising emails from reaching users' inboxes. Do you see what we're up against? And we want to argue about abortion. Really? Google search results even got get out the votes. Excuse me, let me try this again. Google search results and even get out the vote reminders favor Democrats, shifting the 2020 election results away from Trump and the GOP by at least 6 million votes. In 2022, Google buried most Republican campaign websites for the 12 competitive Senate races. 10 out of 12 did not make the top six search results. 7 did not even make the first page of search results. Are you out of your mind? Also, 61% of the stories included on the Google News homepage linked to leftist news media outlets. Meantime, only 3% linked to right-leaning news media outlets. This 20-to-1 disparity was based on all sides data. This is data that they use. And finally, how about this one? In 2024, Google has been aiding Joe Biden, burying in its search results the campaign websites of every one of his significant opponents, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Donald Trump, and every other Republican polling at or above 1%. When searching for Republican presidential campaign websites, Google returned Democrat Marianne Williamson, but not Trump, DeSantis, Haley, etc. Finally, Google artificial intelligence called Gemini refused to give responses to prompts regarding two of Biden's biggest weaknesses, the president's mental health and the ongoing border crisis. That's gross. That's dangerous. That's un-American. That is censorship. So I'm curious, when these people on the left run around, their hair on fire, that Donald Trump is the biggest threat to democracy, that MAGA Republicans represent an existential threat to the foundation of this country. You guys, it's already here. It's been here. It's been rooted here. This is so beyond the pale. And yet they want to come after you for what you say. They want to come after you for what you think. And they want to share only information with you that pushes you ever closer to the cattle chute. Get inside. It's comfortable in here. You don't have to think for yourself. We've got it covered. You just sit back and relax. And when the time comes, we'll tell you what to think and how to vote. Does that seem logical to you? Does that seem American to you? Of course not. And this is a frightening takeaway in this Media Research Center study. Google's impact on elections has surged dramatically in recent years. It's making good on its 2016 promise to never let conservatives win again. Ew. You're going to hear Elon Musk in the moments ahead. And he's sitting down with Don Lemon, formerly from CNN. And you're going to hear not just the conversation about censorship, about somebody who wants it and somebody who believes entirely against it. You're going to hear the difference in political parties' viewpoints. One side believes it knows better than you. One side believes its job is to protect you and to ride in on the white horse of the savior complex and make sure you're okay. But that's not really the goal. The goal is control. And they use fear and their allaying of it for you to control you. The other side believes in you, your God-given rights, your ability to do what you've done all your life. It believes in the law and the will of the people and not putting the thumb on the scales of justice. And so you're going to have to choose which side speaks to you. Where do you fall in this idea of censorship? Should the government, quote unquote, protect you? Or do you share my view that the government long ago lost our trust and respect? And a lot of those folks need to go to prison probably, right? When we come back, I want to talk about this. We're going to give you one little snippet, a teaser beezer of the Lemon Elon Musk sit down, which apparently did not go very well. And you'll understand why right after this on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I find it interesting when people talk about the need of these social media companies to control, to moderate, to be somehow overseeing every single thing that is posted on their platforms. To Elon Musk's point, he oversees Twitter, X, and there are hundreds of millions of tweets on X on a daily basis. The process would be dizzying. But the distinction between Don Lemon, formerly of CNN, who uses the prism of race, of hate speech, of anti-Semitism, because this is the only lens through which he sees the world, as a predicate for somebody like Elon Musk deciding what is allowed and what is not allowed in these United States, where the First Amendment protects even the most offensive, egregious speech, right? We isolated this one audio soundbite before we dig into the greater conversation coming up in hour number two. I want you to hear this as Elon Musk appropriately calls out Don Lemming for what, and I call him Lemming for a reason. Dude is a follower. He is not an independent thinker. This is not a thought leader. This man is not an outside-the-box guy. He beats the same drum again and again. And this is like the woman, the professor, who says marriage is a vestige of white supremacy. It's so stupid. I don't even know what to say about it. But this is where it gets boiled down and blown up for everybody to see. Listen.
We don't agree on this.
Yes, you want censorship and I don't.
No, I don't want censorship at
all. Yes, you do.
No, I want responsibility.
You desperately want censorship.
No, if I want a censorship.
You want censorship so bad you can taste it.
No, that's not true. It's not true. I think that there's right and wrong.
And I
think that when you have a platform that's as big as yours and as powerful as yours and as influential as yours, and you are a person of consequence to the world with what you do, that there is a certain responsibility that goes along with what you have on your platform and what you put out to the world. And I think that's important. You don't see that responsibility.
I think we have a responsibility to adhere to the law. And if people want the law changed, they should talk to their elected representative and get the law changed, and then we will adhere to the law.
Okay.
But if you want us to go beyond the law, that is us deciding to be censors.
So,
and I'm against censorship. I'm in favor of freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And freedom of speech only is relevant when people you don't like say things you don't like. Otherwise, it has no meaning.
100% correct, which leads me to this. Breitbart.com, Keith Olbermann suggests hope for Trump's assassination on social media. Now, as vile and reprehensible and triggered a human being as I feel this guy is, Olbermann, right? The reason we have this quote, freedom of speech, is so this is the kind of discussion that is protected. It's not about living in an echo chamber. It's not about only being surrounded by people who think the way you do. That's not a country, in progress. That is a country in stagnation to demise. When we're all, again, homogenized thinkers. Former MSNBC bomb thrower Keith Olbermann is taking heat for posting to social media his apparent hope that Donald Trump would be assassinated. This extreme leftist jumping into his Twitter account on Saturday in reply to a Joe Biden campaign post, which featured a video of a segment of a speech Trump recently made in Ohio. The Biden-Harris HQ post of the video was captioned, "Trump says he's been treated worse than Abraham Lincoln, who was assassinated." To that, Olbermann replied, "There's always hope," which is gross. It's gross. It's a terrible look. And it's a terrible look from a kumbaya party that expects we're all going to come together and be that giant melting pot, the cauldron bubbling over the open flames together. No. No, we don't negotiate with crazy, right? What Elon Musk is telling Don Lemming, who cannot get out of his own racism, it's bigger than that, Don. It's bigger than that. Who am I to determine what is allowed and what isn't allowed? Who is going to moderate? Moderate is the propagandist word for censorship. That is what we need to decide. There are laws, and Musk says, I believe, that as long as what you post falls within the parameters of the law, you are allowed to say that. Whatever that might be, including that there's hope that the presumptive Republican candidate and likely next president of the United States will be taken out before he gets there. It's vile. It's reprehensible. And anybody affiliated with that should be disturbed beyond measure. But it's the perfect place for us to put our tea and to put the ball that we're about to hit in the next segment. Where does content moderation stop and censorship begin? And who gets to determine what that limit is? There's always hope, Keith Olbermann said. Before I run out of time, the good news is the pushback against that vile rhetoric was swift. This man writes, seek help. Another one writes, cry more, Trump 2024. A third says, you do realize that calling for the assassination of political opposition would make you the bad guys, right? And another one. At the very least, this is a term of service violation. Perhaps the Secret Service should pay Keith a visit. We all know he's mentally unstable. So now, Keith Olbermann can say that Donald Trump should be taken out. But a pro-life man counseling on the sidewalk outside of an abortion clinic can have the feds roll into his house in the pre-dawn hours and shake him down and drag him away. Threats to democracy. Do not go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Listen as censorship meets the First Amendment. Which side do you prefer? Next, hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program.